Last week I wrote about how a field of energy can envelop a culture, an office, family, team, etc. I was curious about what readers perceived, and I set forth a number of fields which I've seen at play and asked what your field was like. The survey results, both troubling and so intriguing, are listed in graphic format in this reading for leading. As people selected three statements that most accurately described the environment, the field of energy in their office, or whatever milieu was central to their life. Almost exactly half of those responding, 68 out of 137, identified their culture as, quote, heavy and slow, end quote. People-growing cultures were named second most, followed by tired cultures. As they used to say in the 60s, that's heavy, man, a real bummer. There's thus a decent chance that you would describe your culture as characterized by one of these almost undeniably unfavorable climates, both for productivity and satisfaction. So what would you, as a member of this large and smart group of readers, suggest? What's your prescription? Here's mine. One, have a vision, and two, ask questions. In both of these cases. In the tired culture, the most essential thing an everyday leader can do is find within himself or herself a sense of why, to what end, to what purpose. Then you can, for example, turn politics into the vision our founding fathers only dreamed of. Turn customer service into the chance to bring light into a weary customer's life and to build a business you're proud to be a part of. Or turn even garbage collection into helping create sanitary and proud communities. If it's too much all the time to speak like Martin Luther King about the meaning of work, then ask, what would make us feel great? What are we really trying to do? Who is our customer? What if we really threw down on this project? I've never ceased to be amazed at how a straightforward question can unassumingly change everything in a group's process. What about the heavy and slow culture? First and again, it starts with you, the everyday leader. You must believe, even if no one else does, and there's little sign that it's true, that your group can make decisions, can reach conclusions, can take some risks. One of the coolest things that I've seen a few times as a consultant is the amazing power of a team that has been knee-deep in its own sludge, then finally makes one solid decision and begins to feel great confidence with solid ground beneath its feet. One or two more decisions like this, and suddenly they've generated momentum. Heavy and slow becomes lighter and steady, if not bright and quick. In the heavy and slow culture, questions can also be so powerful. One of the most effective is, what might we gain if we just make our best decision now? A second one would be, it seems there's some risk to deciding now. I agree. What do we think the cost is to waiting? Are we losing something by not deciding? A third is pretty basic. What will we learn by waiting? And what are the odds it will be significantly different than what we know now? You might also mention the Marines, who are playing a high-stakes game, who guide themselves by a 70% rule. When they're 70% ready, they go, because not acting has costs, and things will always change, and adjustments can be made once you take action. One final point. Reversing a field takes risk, and often takes repeated efforts and marginal gains. The great thing about questions is they minimize risk. You can pose them without taking too strong a position, and equally important, when you ask a question rather than taking an issue on yourself, you can depersonalize it. The boss doesn't feel attacked, and you don't look like an attacker. A good question is a strategic way to lead with your best self.